The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Kama has been generously sponsored in our Daf Yomi program by our good friend and patron and charter member of our Daf Yomi class, Siyahu Ashar HaKohen and his dear wife, Rina. That Be'ezrat Hashem, they will have continued Hatzlacha, Harvaha, Bechol, Ma'aseh, Yedehem, Bri'ut, health, happiness, prosperity, and much nachat from their children. May they enjoy many years of Shalom Bayit, tranquility, and peace of mind. Amen ve'amen.
Daf Lamed Zayin. Today's daf is being studied in Nishmat Mor Zekeni Yosef Ben Sara ve'Marat Zekenati Yafa Bat Sara. V'de'enu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tenihem B'Gan Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied L'Rfu'ah Shelema Moshe Ben Dina El Narefana Lo V'toch Sh'ar Chodei Amo Yisrael. Amen. We begin today's daf on Lamed Vav Amud Bet, and we are going to begin 6 lines from the bottom. Let's just review over here. We're in the middle of a story where a fellow was tokeya lahavero. That's a person, he blew in his friend's ear and he caused them embarrassment. So the Gemara said that he had to pay a sela for the biyush, for the damage of embarrassing. So the Gemara said that the sela that they use in this payment is a kesef medina, which is an eighth of the value of kesef tsuri. So a tsela would actually be valued as a half a dinar of kesef tsuri, which is a small amount of money. So back to the story. So they told the guy that he gets a half a dinar for his embarrassment, that the other guy embarrassed him. So Gemara begins, Amar lewahu gabra. So the fellow that came to the Beit Din to get his bullshit money, he said, "Hoil ufal gad dezuzahu, since it's only half a zuz, lo ba'ina, I'm not interested," which means it's not worth it for me. Nitbe la'aniyim, so you might as well give it to the poor people. Hadar amar le, but then he changed his mind. He told Rabbi Yosef, "Nitve nihali, give it to me. I'll take it." Izil ve'bare ben nafshai, and I'll buy some food with it, and I'll make myself healthy. Amar le Rav Yosef, kevar zachu be'aniyim, says, "I'm sorry, it's too late. The aniyim already are zoche with that money," which means the money belongs to them already. Ve'af agav deleka aniyim hacha, which is, even though there weren't any poor people over there, still Rav Yosef said, once the guy pledged it, the money belongs to them. Why? Anan yad aniyim anan. Rav Yosef was the gabay tzedakah. So he comes along and says, my hand is the extension of the aniyim, and therefore when I hold on to the money, it's as if the aniyim got the money. The Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shemuel, yetomim enam sirichim perosbol. What is a perosbol? We know during the Shemitah year, all debts that are owed to a person become cancelled, unless he writes what's called a prosbol, which transfers his debts to Beit Din, which means an individual is not allowed to collect his debts during Shemitah, but Beit Din is allowed. So now Yitomim, they don't have to write a prosbol, which means even without it, the Shemitah will not cancel out their debts. Why? Because Beit Din is considered the hand of the Yetomim, and therefore automatically all their shtarot are transferred to Beit Din. V'chein ta'ani rami barhama, ha'yetomim enam sirichim prosbol. Yetomim do not need a prosbol, because automatically Beit Din serves as the agent. Rabban Gamliel u'Beit Dino avihen shel yetomim hayu. The Gemara says that the Rabban Gamliel was the Nasi of Israel, and for that matter, any Beit Din that is considered Hashuv, they are appointees on all the anyanim of the yetumim. And therefore, even without a prosbol, it's considered that all their debt is transferred to the Beit Din. But you don't even have to know about it. So similarly, Rabbi Yosef was saying, I am the hand of the poor people, and therefore once you pledged it, and therefore so I have it, therefore it belongs to them, you cannot rescind. Comes the Gemara and tells another story about somebody that was tokeya, that screamed in his friend's ear. Hanan Bisha. There was a fellow called Hanan Bisha. Bisha literally means he was a bad person. Taka lelahu gavra. So what did he do? He blew into somebody's ear. Atalika med Ravuna. So he came in front of Ravuna for judgment. Ambale, so Ravuna tells Hanan Bisha, zil havle palga de zuza. So you got to pay the money of boshet, which is half a zuz. Havale zuza macha. Which means this Hanan Bisha guy, he had a zuz, but it was all diminished. I mean, like it was crushed. The image on it wasn't clear. And therefore, people would not take change in the olden days. Right? You had money changes. But no one would take that worn out coin as change. He had a full coin and he only had to pay half. So he wanted to pay him half a zuz worth. However, he wasn't able to find somebody to make change because nobody wanted that inferior coin. So what did he do? So he blew in his other ear or a second time, and now he owes him another half a zuz, and therefore he gave him the whole coin. That's the Gemara teaching us over here, that we follow the Shita that says the Sela is indeed half a zuz, and that's like we learned above. And that's why he blew in his ear again. He was a Rasha, and I gave him the whole coin. Comes the next Mishnah. Shor shehu mu'ad limino. Let's say you have an ox that is a mu'ad for its own species. For example, it's a mu'ad for goring oxen. Ve'eno mu'ad l'she'eno mino. However, it's not mu'ad for not its species. Which means, let's say you have an ox that gored three times. It gored oxen three times, but it did not gore the other animals. So therefore, for its own kind, it's considered a mu'ad, but it's not considered a mu'ad for enomino. Mu'ad le'adam ve'enu mu'ad le'behema. Let's say the animal is a mu'ad for goring people, but it's not a mu'ad for goring animals, which means it gored a man three times. Well, you have another case, mu'ad le'ketanim, which means it's a mu'ad, let's say, to gore small animals. For example, an egged. Ve'enu mu'ad le'gedolim, but it's not a mu'ad, let's say, to gore bigger animals. So it says, et shehu mu'ad lo meshalem nezek shalem, which means to the species that is considered a mu'ad, so the owner has to pay nezek shalem. Et she'enu mu'ad lo meshalem hatzi nezek, and to the one that is not considered a mu'ad, so of course he'll only have to pay hatzi nezek. Amru lefnei Rabbi Yehuda. So the students said that a question in front of Rabbi Yehuda. Mu'ad l'shabbatot ve'enu mu'ad l'chol. Let's say the animal is a mu'ad for goring on Shabbat, but he's not a mu'ad for goring during the weekday, which means you have an animal that gored on three consecutive Shabbatot. Well, however, during the week, it doesn't gore. So therefore, the Talmidim asked the question, how do you look at the goring over here? Do you look at it as Shabbat and the weekday are separate, and therefore when he gores on Shabbat, he pays Nezek Shalem, when he gores during the week, he'll pay Hatzi Nezek? Or do you say, what do you say that it's considered the same? Which means, we don't make a difference between Shabbat and a weekday. And therefore, it's all considered a mu'ad for all days. That's basically the Gemara's question. Now, why would an animal be more prone to gore on Shabbatot than the weekday? So the Mefarshim explain, as she brings down, because he's batel memelacha. So since on Shabbat he doesn't work the animal, so the animal has more time on its hands, so it's a little bored, so it gets into mischief. So therefore it's a mu'ad for Shabbatot, but it's not a mu'ad for. So that's the question they asked the Biyuda. So he comes along and answers. Amar lahem, v'shabbatot meshalem nezek shalem, limotachol meshalem hatzi nezek. Indeed, the Biyuda separated. That's if Shabbatot is considered a mu'ad if he gores, and he pays nezek shalem. However, limotachol, for the weekdays, he will indeed pay hatzi nezek. Ematai hutam. Oh, when does the animal go back to becoming a tam, which means even for Shabbatot? Mishi yachzor bo shelosha yemei Shabbatot, which means if after he became a mu'ad for the Shabbatot, they brought in front of him that species on three Shabbatot, and he did not gore, then he goes back to becoming a tam. Meaning, then after the fourth time, if he gored on Shabbat, he only would have to pay Hatzi Nezek. So therefore, to go back to becoming a tam, they have to put three animals in front of him on three different Shabbatot, and he does not gore them, so he goes back to becoming a tam. And now the Gemara begins its analysis of our Mishnah. And the Gemara says, Itmar, we have a statement. Rav Zvid Amar Ve'eno Mu'ad Tenan. The Papa Amar Eno Mu'ad Tenan. Now, back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where the short is a Mu'ad for its species, but it was not a Mu'ad for not its species, for a different animal. So the question is, what is the proper text of our Mishnah? So Rav Zevit's text was Ve'eno Mu'ad, meaning he had a Vav, Ve'eno Mu'ad. And the Papa's text was Eno Mu'ad. Now, what is the difference between this text over here? So the text is like this. According to our Mishnah, we're talking about, according to Rav Zevid, he's a mu'ad for oxen, ve'eno mu'ad, and he's not a mu'ad for other types of animals. How do you know that? So the Mefashim are explaining over here, the pshat is that we know for a fact he's not a mu'ad, because we put different animals in front of him and he did not gore them. So that the Mishnah is coming along to say that he pays nezek shalem for the species that he gores and is considered a tam for the other ones. So that would be the quote of Zvid. Ve'enu mu'ad means we know for a fact that he's not mu'ad. Rav Papa, on the other hand, does not have the word vav. He just says if an animal is mu'ad for its species, enu mu'ad, automatically, mistama, it's not a mu'ad for other species. So it's a big nafka mina between Rav Zvid and Rav Papa. Where Rav Zvid's mashma, ve'enu mu'ad, meaning you have to know that he's not a mu'ad, meaning animals are brought in front of him and he did not gore. Whereas according to Rav Papa, no, just because you're a mu'ad for one species, mistama enu mu'ad for other species. And the Gemara explains it. Tazvid amar ve'enu mu'ad tina. Hastama have mu'ad. That's right. Which means only because you know he's not a mu'ad, because you put the animals in front of him and he did not gore. Ve'enu mu'ad. But according to Rav Zavid, stama, he will be considered a mu'ad. Which means, once it gores one species, mistama, it'll gore all species, unless you know for a fact. That's why his girsa is ve'en mu'ad. Rav Papa amar en mu'ad tenam. It's a statement that once already you're telling me it's a mu'ad for one species, fact be told. En mu'ad tenam, the stama lo have mu'ad. So therefore, according to Rav Papa, then astam, just because he's a mu'ad for one type of species, does not mean he's a mu'ad for other types of species. So Gemara says, what is their proofs of this? So the Gemara is going to start bringing proofs for each shita. Rav Zvid Dayik Mesefa. Rav Papa Dayik Meresha. Rav Zvid makes a diuk from the end of the Mishnah, and Rav Papa makes a diuk from the beginning of the Mishnah. Rav Zvid Dayik Misefa Diktani. What did it say at the end of our Mishnah? It said, Mu'ad Leketanim Ve'eno Mu'ad Legedolim. Okay, now what was that case? So we learned to quote that Rashi means Mu'ad Leketanim. The animal is a Mu'ad to gore small animals, but it's not Mu'ad to gore bigger animals. So the Gemara comes along now and makes a diuk. I Amar Pishlama Ve'eno Mu'ad Ketani, if you're learning like Rav Zvid, that the text of the Mishnah is ve'enu mu'ad legedolim, hastame, which means we know for a fact that these animals were put in front of it, hastame have a mu'ad, but minastam, if it's a mu'ad for ketanim, minastam it's a mu'ad for gedolim, hakamash ma'lan. So the hadush of the Mishnah then is that filim ketanim legedolim, namem stam have a mu'ad. That's a hadush in the Mishnah. That is sure that's mu'ad for ketanim, min astam is mu'ad for gedolim. That is indeed a hadush. However, ela, I amart enu mu'ad ketani. If you're telling me, fact be told, that if he's a mu'ad for the ketanim, he is not a mu'ad, min astam, stama lo have a mu'ad. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Hashta yesh tomar, me ketanim, le ketanim, le alma, stama lo have a mu'ad. Meketanim legedolim, sarika lememuad, de lo avi muad. Rav Zvid says that from ketanim in its species to regular ketanim in another species, stama lo avi muad. We're going to say that what? Min hastam, he's not a muad. Do you have to tell me that from ketanim to gedolim, that he's not a muad? Which means you don't need that hidush. Which means, when you tell me a shor that's mu'ad leketanim, and you're telling me that what, if you can't tell me like Rav Papa, that stama, if it's mu'ad leketanim, stama, it's not mu'ad for gedolim, I don't need you to tell me that. If for ketanim, to other ketanim, le'alma, if ketanim in its own species, to other, and it, meaning it's natural for tagor, let's say small shores, but it's, we don't say stama for ketanim de alma for another species. Oh, stama lo avi muad. Minastam, we're going to say that what? It's not a muad, because we learned already shore shu muad le mino, a shore that is muad for its own species is not muad for another species. You told me that already in the resha. You told me already that if it's mu'ad for one species, it doesn't make mistamma, it's not for another. Do you have to tell me that mistamma lo avi mu'ad from ketanim to gedolim? So therefore, according to Rav Papa, Rav Zvid claims that this case would be superfluous. Gemara says, no. Rav Papa amar lecha it's tarich. No, I need the case of gedolim ketanim. Since he's going after these animals in that species, even though it's small, I would say paratz be. He went after them. He became a parutz. Lo shena gedolim dide, velo shena ketanim dide. I might say that no, maybe stama. He becomes a muad even for the bigger version of that species, because it's the same species, and once already he sees wild when it comes to the species, maybe there's no difference. So therefore, kamash ma'alan, that's why I need the Mishnah to come and tell me, no, even in that case, they lo have mu'ad. So therefore, the Papa is able to answer the need of the second case of the Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, the Papa da'ik meresha. The Papa makes the yuk from the first case of the Mishnah. Diktani. So what do we say in the beginning of the Mishnah? We said, mu'ad le'adam, Eno mu'ad la'behema, which means if an animal is a mu'ad for goring people, it does not make it necessarily a mu'ad for goring animals. So comes the Gemara and says, I amar bishlama eno mu'ad tenan. The Papa's talking. If you can learn like me, that says enu muad, meaning stama lo have muad, meaning minastam, you could assume that what, just because it's muad for Adam doesn't mean it's muad for behema. Haka mashmalan, so the big hadush, tafilu me Adam le behema, that even though the animal is muad for a Adam, name stame lo have muad, the hadush is that it's still not going to be muad minastam for a behema. Which means that already is a hidush. Because if a short damages an Adam, now it's very hard to damage an Adam. As we learned earlier in the Masechet, a person has a certain mazal. And therefore, the Chaurai should say, if the animal gores an Adam three times, certainly it should be mu'ad to gore a behemah. Oh, so the hidush, our papa comes along and says, no, that mu'ad le Adam in mu'ad le behemah. Good, so that's already a hadush. That you tell me, minastam, just because it's mu'ad for Adam, does not mean it's mu'ad for at the behemah. There's a hadush. Ela'i amart ve'enu mu'ad ketani. But if you're going to learn like Rav Zvid, that the Mishnah is saying ve'enu mu'ad, meaning we're talking about a case where he gored a man three times, and we know for a fact, meaning three animals were brought in front of him and he didn't gore them, which means you only have to know it for a fact. Hastama have muad, but minastam indeed, he will be a muad, which means if he's a muad for an Adam, he'll be a muad for a behema. Hashta yesh tomad me behema le behema stame have muad me Adam le behema sedicha le memar have muad, which means you already told me in the other case that a shor that's a mu'ad for one species, minastam, you're telling me what? He's a mu'ad for all animals. That's what Avzvi told. That minastam, if you're a mu'ad for one species, minastam, you're mu'ad for other species. So for behemah, the behemah, you consider mu'ad. Certainly, if he's a mu'ad for Adam, minastam, you'll be mu'ad, the behemah, because behemah is harder. And therefore, from behemah to behemah, if you tell me stama, one mean to another mean is considered a mu'ad, certainly, if he's a mu'ad for Adam, you don't have to tell me that. Certainly, min astam. So how is Rav Zavid going to answer that case? So everyone else says, no problem. Rav Zavid amar lecha resha, which means the case of mu'ad le Adam and en mu'ad le behemah, it's going on a different scenario. Ahazara ka'eh. It's going on an animal that already was a mu'ad for an Adam and not for a behemah, and now the animal is trying to get back to its tam state. Kegon ave muad le Adam umuad le behemah. Oh, it was actually a muad for both, which means it was a muad for Adam umuad le behemah vehadar be the behemah. And what happened? The animal retracted from goring behemot. Wow. Because it was in front of the animal three times, velo nagah. Oh, however, legabe Adam, he remained a muad. So we're talking about a case again, according to Rav Zavid. There's a tremendous chiddush in this case. He's muad le Adam, and he was muad le behema. And then what happened? The animal went back from being muad le behema. So the Gemara says, ma'u de tema. I would have thought, Kevan de lo hadar be me Adam, since he did not retract from goring Adam, hazara de behema lav hazara hi, that maybe I'll tell you that the hazara by behema is also nothing, and therefore he's considered a mu'ad for behema as well. Oh, the sevara over here is because since it's harder for a person to be, for an animal to be mazik in Adam than it is to mazik in behema, so I could come along and say, well, now once already he's a mu'ad for both, the hazara for behema is nothing. And therefore I would have thought he remains a mu'ad for both. Kamash ma'alan. So the hadush of that part of the Mishnah is the hazara de behema miya hazara hi. That yes, the hazara for behema is indeed a hazara. Therefore he remains mu'ad le Adam and in a mu'ad le behema. And that's exactly what the Mishnah is saying. Mu'ad le Adam and a mu'ad le behema means he was a mu'ad for both, for Adam and behema. And he retracted from the behema. So the hadush is he remains retracted from behema and he remains a mu'ad for Adam. So that's the way that Zvid can explain that case. Oh, so comes the Gemara and says, according to Rav Zvid, If you have a case of a shur that's mu'ad le'adam, minastam, again, he learns, Rav Zvid, that minastam, he'll be a mu'ad for a behema. Unless you know for a fact. Because again, let's review. Rav Zvid's girsa was ve'eno mu'ad, meaning you know for a fact that it's not mu'ad, meaning it gored a man three times, and you put three animals in front of it, and it didn't gore. Meaning ve'eno mu'ad, because you know. But if you don't know, minastam, you're going to say, mu'ad la'adam is mu'ad la'behema. Meti ve'edi gemara has a question, sumchus omer, is indeed a question from sumchus. Sumchus said, mu'ad la'adam, mu'ad la'behema. Which means, if an animal is mu'ad la'adam, so you could assume that what? It's mu'ad la'behema. Mikava homer. It makes a kava homer. Uma la'adam, mu'ad la'behema, local chicken. That's right. Which means if he's a mu'ad le'adam, which is hard to gore, certainly he should be a mu'ad for a behema. Michnal, implying that what? The Tanakama in a mu'ad kamar. Yeah, that's Sumchus's opinion. Sumchus is saying mu'ad le'adam is mu'ad le'behema. But it's Masra Sumchus is arguing on somebody. And who is Sumchus arguing on? Tanakama of that braita. It's Masra according to Tanakama that just because he's a mu'ad le'adam does not make him a mu'ad. That is going against Rav Zvid, it's going against the Tanakama. So Amalecha Rav Zvid, Sumchus Ahazara Ka'e. Oh, that bright over there, you also have to learn like I learned the Mishnah. That's going on Hazara. Which means the bright is talking about a case where a shor was a mu'ad for an Adam and he was also a mu'ad for a behema. And therefore, he was mu'ad for both. And what happened? The animal was chozer from his mu'ad of a behema. Oh, so therefore he'll go to become a tam for a behema while he remains a mu'ad for Adam. This is what Sumchus was saying. You want to say that at least if he made a hazara for the behema, he goes back to becoming a tam. He says no. The hazara from behema is nothing. Mikava homer me adam, muma me adam lo mechadar be behema lo kochekin. If he's still a mu'ad for the more stringent, for the case of adam, certainly because he made a hazara from the behema means nothing. That's Sumchus's opinion. But Tanakhim will say no. That the hazara from the behema at least makes him a tam for the behema, even though he remains a mu'ad the adam, which is exactly the way that Zvid learned the case of the Mishnah. That he was a mu'ad for both, he made a hazara for the behema part, and then he remains mu'ad the adam, ve'eru mu'ad the behema. Now comes the Gemara, he's going to bring a ra'aya for Rav Zvid. Amar Rav Ashe Tashema. Come, we'll bring you a ra'aya for Rav Zvid from our Mishnah. Amru lefne Rabbi Yehuda. So they said in front of Rabbi Yehuda, Hare ze mu'ad le Shabbatot ve'eno mu'ad le Chol. You have an animal, that's what? Mu'ad the Shabbatot, it gores on Shabbatot, because again we said it's bored, it doesn't do work, so it gores on Shabbatot only, and it's not Mu'ad Lehol. Amad Lehem, so what did Rabbi Yehuda answer? What's the answer to the question? Tell him, Inechaname, Le Shabbatot, Meshalem, Nezek Shalem, on Shabbatot you'll pay Nezek Shalem, Limotahol, Meshalem, Hatzi Nezek, right? And during the week he'll pay Hatzi Nezek. Now, I amar bishlama ve'en mu'ad ketani. Now, if you're going to learn like the way Rav Zvid said, that we have the text ve'en mu'ad, meaning he's a mu'ad for Shabbatot, and we know that he's not a mu'ad for during the week, because animals went by him during the week and he did not gore. So ve'en mu'ad is giving us a fact that we know that he's not a mu'ad for during the week. Oh, so therefore we understand. The students asked him that if he's a mu'ad for Shabbat and he's not a mu'ad for during the week, what's the deen? And Rav Yehuda gave the answer. He's a mu'ad for Shabbat and he's a tam for the week. However, but if the Mishnah is going like Rav Papa, which is more a statement, mu'ad le Shabbat, eno mu'ad le chol, that means the students were really making a statement. They were saying just because he's mu'ad for Shabbat, he's not mu'ad for Chol. So that's not a question. So Gemara says, Agmurehu deka magmirele? What are they teaching the rabbi halakha? It's as if they're telling Rabbi Yehuda. Fact, if he's a mu'ad for Shabbat, in a mu'ad for Chol. First of all, what are they teaching of Yehuda the halacha? Ve'tu, ihu mai kamhaded lehu. What was the Yehuda answering? They weren't asking a question. It sounds like they were saying a statement. And therefore, it must be meduyak, like the Zvid, that the proper text in the Mishnah is ve'eno mu'ad, which means that he's a mu'ad for Shabbatot, and we know for a fact he's not a mu'ad during the week because he was tested, and that was the question to Rav Yehuda, that he considered it, and he answered, like we said, mu'ad the Shabbat, ve'eno mu'ad the Chol. Amar Rav Yanai, Meresha Nami Daika. We can bring it to Ayah from the first case of the Mishnah for Rav Zvid. Diktani et shemu'ad lo meshalem nezek shalem ve'et she'enu mu'ad lo meshalem chatzi nezek, which means we learned in our Mishnah if he's a mu'ad for one species and not a mu'ad for others, so for the one that he's a mu'ad for he pays nezek shalem, and for the one that he's not a mu'ad for he pays chatzi nezek. I amar b'shlama ve'enu mu'ad ketani, which means the Mishnah is giving us a case that we know for a fact he's a mu'ad for, let's say, shivarim ve'enu mu'ad, we know for a fact because he was tested three times and he didn't go, that he's not a mu'ad for others. So perushe kamefareshla. So the Mishnah is explaining that in the case that we just said, for the mu'ad he'll pay nezek shalem, and for the ones that he's a tam, he'll pay chatzi nezek. Ela I amad enu mu'ad ketani. However, if you're going to learn like Rav Papa, that's making a statement, it's saying that if he's a mu'ad for shivanim, he's not a mu'ad for other species, Paska, which means the halakha ends right there. The hadush is in that itself. That mistama, he's not a mu'ad for other things. My tu etch mu'ad lo meshalem nizik shalem, the etch inu mu'ad lo meshalem chatzi nizik. What does the Mishnah have to continue giving me this ruling over here? Ad hashta lo ashmi'inan, the atam meshalem chatzi nizik, wa meshalem nizik shalem? I don't know till now the laws of tam and mu'ad. Which means, you gave me halakha, your hadush is in itself. That you're telling me that what? That mu'ad le shevarim is eno mu'ad le sh'ar behemot. Finished. Period. That's your hadush. That mistama, just because he's mu'ad for this, he's not a mu'ad for that. What does the Mishnah have to continue and then say, oh, for the mu'ad you pay this, for the time you say that? According to Rav Zvid, it's good. Because the case is talking about, he's a mu'ad for these animals, and he's not a mu'ad for others, meaning he's not a mu'ad, he was tested by other animals and he did not gore. Oh, so that's a case already. So if that's a case, the Mishnah has to tell me the deen. And the deen is, for the ones that he's a mu'ad on, he pays nezek shalem, and for the ones that he's not a mu'ad on, he pays chatzi nezek. But according to the papa, the Mishnah is just saying the fact that you should know if he's a mu'ad for this, he's not a mu'ad for that. Mu'ad le shevarim, eno mu'ad, that's a fact. Mishnah does not have to continue and say anything else. So therefore we brought a few ra'ayot for Rav Zvid. However, the Gemara is going to now bring an opinion based on Rav Papa. Then if you want to tell me that what? That Rav Papa's Gesa is correct, that if a shor is a mu'ad for one species, so mistama, he's not a mu'ad for other species. So now the question of the Gemara is, nagah shor hamor v'gamar, that even the papa will agree that if the shor gored three different species, it gored a shor, a hamor, and a gamal, each one time, na'asa mu'ad lakol. Because once already he gored three different species, that shows us he's not prejudiced. He goes everything, which is even according to the opinion of Rav Papa that says, if he gored the same animal three times, he's not a mu'ad for other species. That's only because he gored the same animal three times. But if he gored three separate animals, even Rav Papa will say he's considered a mu'ad. Lakol tanu rabbanan, we have a braita. Ra'a shor nagah. Shor velo nagah. Shor nagah. Shor velo nagah. Shor nagah. Shor velo nagah. Na'asa mu'ad le'serugin le'shevarim. Which means basically the case is every other shor he gores. Which means the first one he gored, two he didn't, three yes, four no, five yes, six no. So the seventh shor that he will gore, he's considered a mu'ad and will have to pay nezek shalem. The eighth one, however, if he gores, it would be considered a tam. The ninth one, yes. The tenth one, no. So that's a mu'ad lesidugin, meaning he's a mu'ad, but he in intervals. Every other one he gores, and therefore he's considered on the interval one of a mu'ad, he's considered nezek shalem, and for the one that's for the dilug, if he would gore during the dilug, that would be considered a tam. Comes the Gemara and says, "Taron Rabbanan, Ra'ash Shor Nagah, Hamor Velo Nagah, Sus Venagah, Gamal Velo Nagah, Pered Nagah, Arod Velo Nagah, Nasam Mu'ad Lesirugin Lakol." So again, this case over here is he's also alternating. He gored a shor, and then he saw a hamor and didn't do anything. He saw a horse, he gored. And camel didn't do anything. The pit, the mule, he gored, and then he saw the wild donkey, which is the arod, and he didn't gore. So he's a mu'ad lesirugin lakol, which means, first of all, since he gored three different types, he's considered a mu'ad, but only a mu'ad for every other one, which means the seventh animal that he gores, he'll be considered a mu'ad apay nezik shalem, as the eighth, he only has to pay Hatsi Nezek. Ibayelihu, the Gemara has now a few questions. Nagah Shor, Shor Veshor, Hamor Vegamal Mahu. So altogether over here, there's five gorings. Three shores in a row, then a Hamor, and then a Gamal. Well, Hai Shor Batra Batar Shivarim Shadinane, the third goring of the Shor. You put that in the section of the shor gorings, and therefore the guy's considered, the shor is considered goring a shor three times, and therefore it'll only be considered a mu'ad for shevarim. There's only considered a mu'ad for shevarim, and not for anything else. And it makes sense to say that, because already he gored three times shevarim, or two times shevarim. So Mr. Ma, the third goring is part of that first group, and therefore he's only considered a mu'ad for shevarim. Or Dilma, or maybe you say, Hai Shor Batra, maybe the second, or the third, I should say, shor that he gored, Batar Hamor Vegamal Shadinane, maybe you put it part of the second section, and therefore it's Shor Hamor Gamal, therefore he's a mu'ad for everything. And therefore indeed he becomes a mu'ad for all species. Gemara asks a similar question. Hamor Vegamal Shor 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 Mahu. So in this case over here, Hai Shor Kama. So the first Shor, which means the third animal that it gored, was a Shor. But where do you put it? The batar hamor vegamal shadinane. Do you put it after the first three gorings? Because that's the first section. So therefore, it's going to be considered a mu'ad for everything. And therefore, iyaed le lekodu mineh or dilma batar shevarim shadinane. Or maybe you're going to put it by the shevarim, and therefore you only have a hamor and a gamad and shor shor shor, and therefore I'll say ve'akati l'shvarim u'di'ayid l'mina aharin alo yayid. So that's part of the question. Gemara asks a similar question. Shabbat, Shabbat, v'Shabbat, le'had b'Shabbat, v'sheni b'Shabbat. He gored three Shabbatot, then on a Sunday, and then on a Monday. So hi Shabbat, but right at the last Shabbat, where do you put it with? Batar Shabbat u deshadina le, you put it part of the first group, and therefore is considered vakati the Shabbat u the iyaid the motahol lo iyaid. It'll only be considered a mu'ad for Shabbat, but not for weekdays. Odilma batar achar b'Shabbat v'shini b'Shabbat shadina le. Or maybe you put the last Shabbat part of Shabbat Sunday and Monday, and therefore iyaid echod yomah. Maybe it's considered a mu'ad for the entire week. The Gemara goes the other way. Hamishi b'Shabbat v'erev Shabbat v'Shabbat Shabbat v'Shabbat. He gored on Thursday, Friday, Shabbat, Shabbat, and Shabbat. Then the consecutive Shabbatot. So, Hai Shabbat Kamaita. So, the first Shabbat, which is the third goring, Thursday, Friday, Shabbat, Batar Hamishim B'Shabbat, Ve'erev Shabbat, Shadid. And you put it with the Thursday, Friday, Shabbat, and therefore, Iyaed, the Kodi Yobe, is considered a gora for the entire week, is considered a mu'ad. Odilma, Hai Shabbat Kamaita. maybe the first goring of Shabbat, batas Shabbatot u'tshtenil, you put it with the grouping of the Shabbats that come after it, and therefore u'tshabbatot hu'diya'iyya'id, that maybe is only considered mu'ad for Shabbatot itself. The Gemara on all these questions leaves it in a tiku. Now the Gemara comes along and gives another scenario. Nagach shor yom hamisha asar b'chodesh zeh, ויום שישה עשר בחודש זה, יום שבע עשר בחודש זה, which means you have an ox that gored 3 months. The first month it gored on the 15th day, the second month on the 16th day, and the third month on the 17th day. So now he has a certain pattern over here. So do we say that this can make him a mu'ad for a dilug? Meaning the next month if he gores on the 18th, because already he did 15, 16, 17, so he has a pattern. Already if he would go on the 18th on the next month, therefore he would already be considered a mu'ad. So that's the Gemara's question. How do you deal with that case? So Gemara says, Pilukta de Rav u'Shmuel. It's actually a machloket between Rav and Shmuel by the laws of Nida. There is a certain law of Nida of a lady that has a set veset, or a set cycle. Now, Veset Kavua can be established in different ways. For example, a lady for 3 months in a row gets her Nida exactly on the same day. So that's already considered Veset Kavua. Nafka Mirava Veset Kavua, that if let's say she becomes Tume'ah on that day, you could assume that the Tum'ah came on that day and it did not come before without her knowing about it. Therefore, if let's say she touched anything until that point, you could assume she's pure until she actually saw. But she'enkin, a lady that does not have a set cycle, when she finally sees blood, you have to assume that maybe it came already 24 hours before. Therefore, anything she touched within 24 hours is retroactively going to become teme'ah. In any way, the discussion over between Rav and Shmuel is the establishment of a veset kavua by a lady. So it says, de'itmar ata yom hamisha asar bechodesh. Let's say the lady got her first nida on the 15th of the month. V'yom shisha asar b'chodesh, and then she got it on the 16th of the next month. V'yom shisha asar b'chodesh, and then on the 17th of the next. Rav amar kav'ala veset, and therefore she has already kivi'ut veset of the months, meaning skipping one day a month. And therefore, the next month, the 18th day already, that's already she has a veset kavua. Shmuel amar ad she'tashalesh b'dilug. So Shmuel says, no, it's not enough just to have 3 times. You have to have actually 4 times, 4 dilugim. She's the first dilug, it's not considered a dilug, which is the first time she's on the 15th of the month. That doesn't count. It's got to have at least 2 days. So therefore, you count from the 15th, and then she saw the 16th. That's considered one. Then the 16th to the 17th, and the 17th to the 18th. So altogether, you had 4 scenes. That's the way Shmuel understands it. So therefore, just like Rav and Shmuel have a machluk and how to establish a veset of an idah, same thing we're going to say how they establish the mu'ad of a shor. According to Rav, if a shor go on the 15th, and then the 16th and the 17th, already on the 17th, he's considered a mu'ad for dilug. And therefore, he does not have to make another dilug for the next month. Which means, so long as he saw 15, 16, 17, he already is considered a mu'ad. Whereas according to Shmuel, he has to make a dilug for 3 times, which means it has to be 4 gorings. Which means that last 3 are considered a dilug. Meaning he went from 15 to 16. Also 16 is considered the first dilug. Because you count 15, you don't count 15. 15 is the first time he gored, that means nothing. So from 15 to 16, then 16 to 17, and 17 to 18. So then already he becomes a mu'ad for dilug when he gores already by the 18th time, which is the 4th goring. So anyway, it's a machloka, just like by Nida. It's a machloka. When does the vesi become kavua? On the 3rd seeing, whereas according to Rav, it's on the 15, 16, 17 already has its vesi kavua, whereas according to Shmuel, she would not have a vesi kavua until the following month. So similar to the machloka by Nida is the machloka by an ox that has a dilug, that how many dilugim do you actually have to have? Rav will say 3 gorings, and Shmuel will say 4 gorings. Amar Rava, Shama kol shofar benagach, kol shofar benagach, kol shofar benagach, na'asa mu'ad shofarot. If the animal heard the voice of a shofar, and it gored, And then I heard it again, and a gurd, and again a gurd. So now it's a mu'at v'shofarot, meaning he's going to have to pay nezek shalem, which means if somebody blows a shofar again, and this animal goes out and gurs, he's considered a mu'at for this, and therefore we'd have to pay nezek shalem. The Gemara says, peshita, what do you mean? Isn't that obvious? The Gemara says, no. Mahu detema, I would have thought, hach shofar, kamat, that the first blowing of the shofar, siyuta be'alma hudenakte, which means I say the animal just got scared, and because she got scared, she gored. I mean, you don't count that nigiha, I would have thought, as the first of the gorings, which means maybe that's just because it was a reflex, got nervous and hurt the horns. Kamashmalan, that what? That even the first one is part of the minyan, and therefore, after already it heard it three times, so now the Baal is chayav to watch the animal. If he does not, he indeed has to pay nezek shadim. And the hadush is that the first one counts as well. And we don't say that he just had a knee-jerk reaction because of the fear, that that's why he kicked or gored. Hela what? Indeed it is mistaref to the minyan. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen ve'amen.